Well, I'm going to give a short word to you now. And first of all, to wish you all a very happy day tomorrow, Christmas Day, and pray that it will be a day of blessing as well. And I think when you're singing the carols, they are familiar to many of us, I know. But for all of us, it brings back childhood memories of favourite carols we sang at that time in schools, as well as in Sunday school. Very lovely words, and the tunes also are something special. I often used to wonder why we don't sing them sometimes at other times of the year, but they're just kept for Christmas, and maybe there's something rather special about that. Now, I'm going to, around the birth of Jesus Christ, there are other characters that make a lovely contribution in the scriptures, and one of them was called Zacharias, and I'm going to read you something that he said. It's an amazing thing, actually, what he did say. He's referring to Jesus Christ. It also includes also John the Baptist. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way. That's a reference to John the Baptist preparing the way of Christ. Then, this is the purpose, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give us light, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. Now, those verses particularly, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Now, I think every little phrase there, we could spend quite a long time on them, but I'm not going to do that. I just want to give you a brief knowledge. The heart of it is verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now, we may know many things, and we may be very able and very good in our particular subjects and spheres. But if we haven't got this knowledge, we really haven't got very much when it comes to it. All the others are for the temporary residence we have in this world. Now, we learn something about God here. So I've called it the heart of God. What do you imagine God to be like? Now, we are told something very lovely about God here. In verse 78, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. A simple verse at the beginning, a little bit more complicated towards the end. Now, it talks about the tender mercy of our God. There's a loveliness about that. Now, where does that begin? It begins in the heart of God. That's where tenderness and mercy reside, in the heart of God. And it's in something that he planned before the world was created. And in our hymn book, we have some lovely hymns, but we have one, a translation, which refers to that kind of situation. I'll read you one stanza. Far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun and moon and stars were born, salvation way for sinners lost and done was counseled forth by God the three in one. The picture is this, that there in eternity, the heart of God, he sets something in motion. What is it? It is a result of his tender mercy, his kindness and his grace and his love. Now then, it's then revealed what that is. This plan then is revealed in this little statement, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Now, in one of the carols, you remember the Silent Night one, it talks about dawn of redeeming grace. Where did hope begin? Where did any kind of knowledge of the things of God begin? It brings in the dawn of all things, in the dawn of the plan of God. You know, I was a school teacher once, and you'd be teaching a class of children. You always knew that glazed look when they weren't really listening, or they were apparently looking through you or past you. You could recognize that quite easily. But then you suddenly saw somebody light up. it had dawned on them. We use that phrase, don't we? It had dawned on them. That is, they had got what you were meaning. They had understood you. And here too, something is to dawn on us. To begin with, it dawns on a world. And then it has to dawn individually in all our hearts. Now, the days that we are living in, you may be surprised to hear that they're called days of grace. Days of grace. That is, days of opportunity. You might say, but they're hard days. Yes, they are. They're frightening days. Yes, they are too. But you're alive. And they are days of grace. And whilst we have life, we have opportunity. We have time to consider. Very much like a holiday. Now, you might say, well, how long have I got before I plan for my holiday? 2 months. We might say, those are days of grace where you can prepare for your holiday. If you're told you're going tomorrow, you'd be in the right state about it. But they are days of grace in that sense of the word. But for your death and for eternity, a preparation for that, these are days of grace that give you an opportunity to prepare for that. And in order for that to happen, something must happen to you. Now then, it is the activity of God. Now that's the heart of God, the tender mercy of God sends something in motion that he wants something to dawn upon you, that you have to respond to something and that you must understand. Now that's easy enough. The second bit is this, there's hope. In a hopeless world, I know, but nevertheless, hope hasn't died either. There's the hope of God. Now what is it? Here it is, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, light in a dark place is a remarkable thing. Even if you have a very large room and just light one match, that darkness isn't quite the same, is it? Or if you have one of those little night lights in your house, you hardly notice them in the dusk or in the daytime, but at night, you notice them. Even though the night is very dark, yet that little light breaks the darkness up. Light is a remarkable thing. But we can use light in another way. The light of understanding. Now then, where are we? To give life to them, to whom? To those who are sitting, and it describes here, in darkness and in the shadow of death. So we know what darkness is. But we also can understand, we say sometimes, oh, it's all dark to me. I don't understand that. There can be that use of the word darkness as well. And it's meaning it like that. We're sitting in darkness. Unless we have known of this dawning in our lives, we are in darkness. It's called spiritual darkness. In the Gospel of John, it's described like this. This is a condemnation. That light is come into the world, but that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Light has come with Jesus Christ coming, but men don't really want to know because they prefer what they're doing and prefer not to be disturbed or in any way worried about anything like that. Now, what is this darkness? Let me describe it to you. It's a terrible darkness. It's called the shadow of death. There are three things here. Spiritual death. You can be alive, very much alive, brilliant or moderate, whatever. Successful or only moderately so, or not so well so. But you can be spiritually dead. Now, you know that's true, don't you? And I'll tell you how you feel when you're spiritually dead. When people talk about your soul, you want them to stop. All right? That's a sign I put my finger on your pulse. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You may understand a lot about religions, philosophy, and all sorts of things. I thought once I'd find Christ through philosophy. What a foolish thing, but I tried. Couldn't find him there. Spiritually dead. We cannot respond. And it irritates us. And it can even make us a little bit angry too. It's spiritual death. Now, how are you going to remain like that? There is another kind of death too, a physical death. It wastes us all. You know, for every one of us, in our turn, it comes to us. I don't want to dwell on that, but it's a fact of life that we die. That's right, isn't it? A fact of life that we actually do die. Yes, even you and even I, we do die. There's two deaths for you. Then the third is eternal death. That's not nice. Eternal death is when God has rejected you. That's darkness indeed. How long does it last? Eternity. Eternity. I'm going to use an illustration here that many in this church know it, but they'll forgive me. A man describing eternity is very difficult to really, it's another dimension. The nearest word we can get to eternity is everlasting. And I like this illustration, not my own, it's one of the Puritans. I want you to imagine that all the galaxies, the totality of all creation, the immense things that are in the heavens, and there should become a pile of sand. What a huge pile. Immense. And a little bird, once every 1,000 years, takes one grain to another destination. It'll take a long time. Then it's finished that. It then starts again to take it back. One grain of sand every 1,000 years. And then the writer said, an eternity has not seriously begun. Eternity. Spiritual death is either rejecting or not wanting or can't understand the things of God. Physical death is something you cannot avoid. Eternal death is not necessarily yours. Need not be. It can be eternal life. How? Because of this, I just said to you, to give light to them, to whom? Who sit in darkness, to those people, to give light to them. Now, what is this spiritual light? It is the light of God. How can you believe that can be so? Do you believe in a creator? Do you believe in a creator that's not interested in his creation? Or do you believe in a creator who is involved in his creation? Do you believe that we live, move, and have our being by his permission? Or do you believe about him? Well, what we're told here, he has a heart of tender mercy. Now, what is spiritual enlightenment? Here it is. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins. Now, I'll do this briefly, but it's vital. To give knowledge. Knowledge is a good thing. But this is spiritual knowledge. Who gives it? God does. And we must be willing to accept it. What is his knowledge? That Jesus Christ is my only begotten Son. That he came into this world for one purpose. You know, we might say like this, if only God had said something, if only God had shown us, if only he'd made some kind of manifestation. He has. And the strange thing is, it's as if we don't want to know sometimes, but he has. Jesus Christ is his Son. Now, what did he come to do? Well, he was born, certainly. He came to live in order to die, and to die in order that we might live. Now, none of us are fit for heaven. We know that. I'm not, and you're not. We're not fit to have fellowship with God. What can make me fit? Something the Saviour has done for me. On the cross, you see, that's the purpose of his birth, is to lead him to the cross. He's mentioned in so many of his birth accounts, what he's come for. And here, the remission of sins. To understand that somebody has been punished in your place for your sin. Past sins. Present sins. Future sins. Well, that's some bargain. You know, that's not an excuse to sin. It's a wonderful thing to know that I can meet that day when I have to leave knowing I am forgiven. Now, what did he do on Calvary? Yes, he was crucified. It hurt. The nails hurt. That's true. But the real suffering was God's wrath on his own Son, who was representing us as sinners, and he was punished in our place. It's an amazing thing. You know, at the end, when the suffering was finished, you know what he said before he died? It is finished. Now, what has finished? The payment has been paid in full. The debt has been paid in full. I've cleared it all. Now then, that's a lovely thing. That's why he came. That's the light. That's the tender mercy. That's the enlightenment. That's when it dawns in our heart that this is so. It is a very, very wonderful thing. Now then, how do we respond to that? We respond by believing. By believing. One moment in your life when you trust. Oh, trust is a lovely thing. You know, you trust a friend with a secret or a worry or an anxiety, and you share it because you trust him or her. You trust them. And in your family life, you share because you trust them. Are you willing to trust God with your soul? That's why he came. That's the result of God's tender mercy dawning in your soul. The dawn of the remission of sins. Gone. And lastly, where will it lead you? The home of God. To guide our feet in the way of peace. We will never be the same again. The way we go, our interests, our lives. We live in the same world. We're in the same body. That is true. But everything is different. Now we have an aim. Now we have a purpose. Now we see the meaning. The meaning of my life is to glorify God. To be a man or woman of grace. Different. And we, in our terms, will be like little lights in the world. And men looking at you, myself, would see there's somebody there with hope. I wonder if I can have it. That hope. To guide our feet in the way of peace. And when our time comes, to guide our feet to God himself. That's the climax of it all. So it's nothing to be dreaded anymore. Nothing anymore. It's rather an entry into an eternal kingdom. Now look at these verses again, and they're lovely. To give knowledge of the salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. He did come. What for? To give light to them that sit in darkness. In one way I can say, if you're sitting in darkness now, or spiritually stand up, and in the shadow of death, leave those shadows, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. What can be better than the way to be put on your way and on the correct way? Now I'm an expert at losing my way. In fact, I'm guaranteed to lose my way. But it is wonderful when somebody says, now look, I'm putting you on on the right road, just go straight ahead, establishing your feet in the way of peace. That's Christianity. And you know where you're going. And you know that you are prepared. And you know that you'll have a welcome because you belong to God through Jesus Christ, our Saviour.